Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Palm Sunday weekend services here at Trinity Church. I am so thrilled that you are tuning in. You're a part of this service, whether on Facebook, online, or now. I'm excited to announce, are on KLBK Channel 13 every Sunday from 11 to 11:30. So those of you that are watching on television, welcome. We are so thrilled and excited that you are a part of our Palm Sunday weekend services here at Trinity Church. I've entitled the message, "The Name Above All Names." You know, Palm Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week, and that was the moment when Jesus, our Lord and Savior, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and he was shouted, he was praised, he was glorified with shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Why don't we do that together? Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And his name is above every name. And here's a paradox. The greatest name ever is not one which evoked power on that day, but humility. Think of it. The most powerful name, the name of Jesus, did not evoke power on that day. Instead, it spoke of humility. And because of his act of humility in God becoming a man, and Christ riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, God gave him a name that's above every name, that at that name every knee shall bow. So here's the big takeaway on Palm Sunday. It is a lesson of Christ's humility, and it is a lesson in humility for all of us. And boy, haven't we been learning a lesson on humility as we globally and in our nation and in our own community have been walking through this cataclysmic moment in the world today. Lesson on humility. I'm going to be reading from the book of Philippians chapter 2 beginning in verse 5, and as our tradition is here at Trinity, out of love and respect for God's Word, for the reading of God's Word, I'm going to ask you, if you can, to please stand to your feet, and I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. He became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. And so, in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will fall on their knees, and all will openly proclaim, "Jesus Christ is Lord," to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. Dear Lord in heaven, on this Palm Sunday weekend, we declare that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We declare the Lordship of Jesus over every sickness, over every disease, over everyone that's in pain or suffering. We declare that Jesus is Lord over the plague that's gone across our planet. We declare the Lordship of Christ, and we thank you for the lessons we will learn as we study here from Philippians 2 related to the humility of Christ, which is what Palm Sunday was all about. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated if you're in a place where you can be seated. Wow, Jesus Christ, the name that's above every name. Now, those of us that are parents, we could remember the challenge we had and the struggle it was to try to pick the perfect name for our child. Do you remember when you had to pick that name for your son or for your daughter? Well, guess what? I saw in the news, following the birth of a little girl, that the mother bestowed on her a name above all names, a name that actually had 1,023 letters in it. I'm not making this up. The name got the child into the Guinness World Records. The name that this mom gave her little girl had over 1,000 letters in it. Who would do something like that to a little child? Well, this mother did. In this girl's name, I'm not making any of this up, there are titles to movies, cars, countries, cities. It is a combination of 100 shorter first names. It has 1,023 letters and apostrophes, and two apostrophes. Her middle name has only 36 letters. Her name is Jamie for short. And I'm sure her friends and relatives appreciate calling her by her nickname versus her birth name. And I actually have a slide that shows the name. Here's the name. I guess we were able to fit it all on one slide, but here's the name. When they actually went to register the name, they had to use several different birth certificates, and they had to tape them together. So Jesus has the greatest name, but this little girl has the longest name that anyone has ever been given. And they asked the mother, they said, why did you do this to your little girl? And she said, I wanted her name to be unique. Well, it's unique. You don't say, right? It is definitely unique. She succeeded in making this little girl's name unique. You know, Laura Wattenberg, in her book, The Baby Name Wizard, she notes that the name given to a child reflects more on the parents than it does the child. And that makes sense, right? She goes on to say, the name doesn't belong to you. Listen to me, all you expected mothers out there. The name doesn't belong to you, says Wattenberg. You're making the decision for your child because your child can't do it for themselves. So please choose a good name. Because there's power. There's power in a name. They actually did research. People that had unique names versus people that had common names. And in this extensive empirical study, they found out people that had common names and yet powerful, forceful names did better in interviews in being hired for a job. It's quite interesting if you go deep into this. So Jesus doesn't have the longest name, but he has the most powerful name. And on Palm Sunday, as he rode into Jerusalem, they shouted, save now. Hosanna means save now. Hosanna, Hosanna, save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And what is that name of our Savior? Well, at the birth, his birth, the angel said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. That's the most powerful name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Messiah. In that name, sermons have been preached. In that name, songs and books have been written. In that name, lives have been transformed. In that name, people have been healed. In that name, hospitals have been built. In that name, schools have been erected. In that name, all people of the world can be saved. The name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Say it with me, Jesus. Say one more time, Jesus. So on Palm Sunday, Jesus rides into Jerusalem and the people are shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name. That name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, every knee shall bow. Now, when that name was given to our Savior, Jesus, right? When that name was given to him, it was a common name, kind of like the name Bob or or Harry or Matthew today, right? The name Jesus was common in the day of Christ. Matter of fact, the Jewish historian Josephus cynically observed that he knew at least 20 people named Jesus. So what's so special about this Jesus? Jesus, the one born of a virgin, Jesus from Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, or Jesus the Messiah. Well, the root meaning of the name Jesus comes from the Hebrew word Joshua, which means Yahweh saves. So you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the name of Jesus in the Hebrew language means Yahweh saves. And so that's why they were shouting on Palm Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. The Apostle Paul points out to an answer of Christ being the greatest name, and that one day every knee will bow, and one day every tongue will confess in heaven and on earth that Jesus Christ is Lord. In verse 6 and 7, particularly the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, the reason being is because he humbled himself. He did not regard his equality with God. This is some deep theological waters here now, okay? Because Jesus, as the Son of God, existed in eternity past with the Father, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? Only in his incarnation, only when he took upon human flesh, only when he was born of a virgin into this world, right, did he have a beginning in his humanity and in his flesh, but he always existed with God in eternity past. And Jesus did not think his equality with God was something he had to hold on to or exploit, but he was willing to empty himself and take upon himself the form of a servant. And this is what sets Jesus apart from all others, all the other 20-some people who were named Jesus in the time of Josephus, right? This is what sets our Savior Jesus, sets him apart from Adam. This is what sets him apart from all other religious leaders that have ever existed. He, and he alone, is the Savior of the world. And when he rode into Jerusalem on that day, on a donkey, not on a stallion, not as a conquering king, but as a humble servant, he actually disappointed a lot of people. Because those that believed that he was Messiah, that he was going to come into the world and he was going to rid the Jews of the Romans and he was going to establish his eternal kingdom, but first, before he would be crowned as king, he had to wear a crown of thorns as a servant and as a savior. So three very important thoughts that I want to leave you with in the message today on Palm Sunday weekend when Jesus rode in Jerusalem on a donkey from Philippians 2, because it was an act of tremendous humility. And the first is this: we need to learn three important lessons. Number one, be like Christ. That's the first point. Be like Christ. In what way? Well, look at Philippians 2:5. And if you can, read it out loud with me. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Notice that. Your attitude. Interesting. Some translations say your mind should be like that of Christ Jesus, which literally means, is translated as attitude. To be like Christ is to have an attitude like Christ. Listen, not like an attitude like Adam, because Jesus is referred to as the second Adam in the New Testament. What kind of attitude did Adam have? Adam gave in to the tempter. Jesus overcame the tempter. Adam led the world into sin. Jesus now leads the world into salvation. Adam chose selfishness. Jesus chose sacrifice. Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this attitude be in you that was not like Lucifer, who became Satan in the scriptures. And Lucifer's attitude was, I'm tired of worshiping God. I want to be worshiped. I want to exalt myself. I will exalt myself. I will be like God. I will. No. You don't want to be like Lucifer. You don't want to have the attitude like Satan, right? We want to have an attitude like Christ, who said, I will go to that cross. I will shed my blood. I will die a gruesome death. That's what Palm Sunday leads up to, Good Friday, the death of Jesus, and then Easter morning. Next weekend, Lord willing, right, we'll be celebrating Easter together. By God's grace, we'll be able to do it in person together. So let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to be like Jesus. Boy, that's a tall order, right? Be like Jesus how? Grow long hair, beard, you know, wear sandals, long robe, you know, go live in Jerusalem. No. Be like Jesus in the essence of who he was, God's Son, in his love, in his character, in his holiness. That's a tall order. That's a lifelong pursuit, right? Lifelong commitment to become like Jesus. I was reading after Charles Spurgeon, and he said there's actually a certain silkworm that these worms acquire their pigmentation, their color, based on the foods that they eat. And so I did some Googling, and to find out, you know, in the animal world, in the insect world, some fish, a creature will actually take on the pigmentation or the color of their skin based on what they consume. So if you and I feed on Christ, if we feed on his word, right, then we should become pure and holy, lowly and meek, gentle and humble. Now, I know when we're saved, when we're born again, we become brand new creatures on the inside. And that's instantaneously, that's miraculously, that takes place instantaneously. We're saved. But as Christians, we need to grow to become more like Christ, right? That's the whole process of sanctification. And so, number one, on this Palm Sunday weekend, we want to be like Christ. Number one, we need to have the attitude of Christ. Are we better than him? By no means. He was God in human form. Some say that this section of Scripture here in Philippians 2 is the most holy, sacred section of Scripture in the entirety of the Word of God, because it has such an amazing description of who Jesus is and what Jesus did. It's called the kenosis of Christ, theologically, when he emptied himself and he humbled himself and became a man. So number two, lesson number two is be humble. The lesson that we learn on Palm Sunday when Jesus rode into Jerusalem as the humble servant of God is we need to learn the lesson of humility. Philippians 2:8, he was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death. His death on the cross. Is God going to ask anything less from you or anything less from me? No, absolutely not. And what a privilege and an honor it is for us to humble ourselves and walk the path of obedience with Christ all the way to our death. God forbid, if need be. And Jesus' death was the death on the cross. We have a generation that seeks affirmation, not humility. But maybe this is a season of humility, and maybe a dose of humiliation for us as a nation and the nations of the world, because we could become so proud and arrogant in our power, in our ability, and yet an unseen, invisible microbe has brought us to our knees. Better to voluntarily humble ourselves, wouldn't you say, than to be humbled? So really, humility, I know it's a lifelong quest, right, for all of us, because pride comes so easy for all of us, especially for me. Pride comes naturally. Pride comes automatically. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What makes you an attractive Christian in the eyes of heaven, in the eyes of God, is your humility. Humbling yourself. You know, pride destroys, grace abounds. The greatest act of self-renunciation, the greatest act of self-demotion, was when the King of Glory came to this earth as a human being and humbled himself to the point of being a servant, a slave, to the point of death. Can we grasp that? Can we even begin to fathom? A prince becomes a peasant so that peasants could become princes. Wow. That's the story of the gospel. This is what God was willing to do. Jesus voluntarily said, I will do this. I will leave. I do not think my equality with God is something I have to hold on to. I will let go of my kingly, divine privileges and rights. No, in becoming a man, he never ceased being God. Listen to me. In becoming a man, he never ceased being God. But he gave up all the rights and privileges of being God. Paul describes him in the book of Colossians as the creator of all things. And yet he humbled himself. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And he laid his life down for us. Be like Christ. Let this attitude be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Humble yourself before God, and he will exalt you. You know, Paul was writing this to the church at Philippi, and this congregation was incredible. He founded this congregation, and they were very generous to him. After the message, you'll have an opportunity to be generous to the work of God by giving of your tithes and offerings to the Lord's work. The church at Philippi were very, very generous. They had an attitude of gratitude. It's really called the book of joy. And people who are humble and have a servant's heart and people who are generous are the most joyful people in the world. But you see, it wasn't just humility. It was humility coupled with obedience. Let me ask you, how are you being humbled during this crisis we find ourselves in, this global crisis? What has changed in you and me, or if anything, what has changed? Are we becoming more attentive to God, more in tune to God, more humble, and are we walking out our obedience to Him? We have a lot of time to think, right? With close to one-third of people locked down and so much death and carnage, we desperately need God. And we need to humble ourselves before Him. We live in what some have called a nation of affirmation. Far too many seeking affirmation, crying out to be noticed. Some people are willing to almost do anything to simply be noticed. But God wants us to be humble. Humble before Him. To have this attitude that Christ had. And to have a sense of humility and obedience to live out our lives in such a way that is honoring to God. Putting God first. And finally, number three, the third important lesson we could learn on this Palm Sunday weekend in our services here at Trinity is be a servant. Number three, and finally, our final point, be a servant. Paul said here in verse 7 of Philippians 2, the first part of it, instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. What a lesson. What an example. You know, the entirety of the existence of Jesus in this world was one of servanthood. All the way back in Isaiah chapter 42, there's a prophecy about our Lord. And he's introduced this way in Isaiah 42:1, behold my servant. Not behold the king, because that's what he is. Behold the king of glory, that's what he is. Behold the creator, that's who he is. No, behold my servant. And then what does Jesus do? The last remaining hours of his life, right? John 13, after communion, no one else had a servant's heart, so Jesus wraps a towel around himself, and then he washes the feet of his disciples. Are you kidding me? We have a lot to learn of what it means to be a Christian. After 40 years of walking with Jesus, I still have a lot to learn about being like Christ, having the same attitude of Christ, and having, developing, and living out a servant's heart. In Ephesians 4:9, it says, now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he first descended? Well, that's not the verse. In Ephesians 4:9, it said that Jesus ascended, but what does it mean? It means he first descended to the lowest parts of the earth. Imagine that. Jesus, God gave him names above every name. Why? Because he was willing to go to the lowest parts of the earth. You know, he actually went into the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. He went to hell and back, right? For you and for me. What an incredible... I almost don't even feel worthy to preach a message like this. I don't think any preacher could ever feel worthy to ever preach from Philippians 2 when you're talking about the path that Christ left for us to follow. Be like Jesus. Let this attitude be in you. Be humble and have a servant's heart. You know, in times of crisis, it gives us an opportunity to become a better servant. I want to encourage you today to become a better servant of Christ. And if you haven't surrendered your life over to Jesus, I'm going to ask you right now to simply say, God, save me. God, I surrender my life to you. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. On this Palm Sunday weekend, on this beginning of Holy Week, it could be the beginning of a brand new future for you. If you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, do it now. You can call the church, you can contact the church, you can jump online. We're here for you. We want to help you continue to grow in your relationship with Jesus. Thank you for being a part of this special service. God bless you.